All right, so let's look at adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement. And this is, again, one of the techniques that we developed, that I developed with Dr. Richard Gordon. In fact, when I developed the, when I developed the adaptive neighborhood technique with Dr. Richard Gordon in 1982 or 83, our aim was contrast enhancement to begin with. And later on, we extended to the other techniques, other applications that I showed earlier. So the initial work on adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement that I did with Dr. Richard Gordon was for contrast enhancement. The reasoning or the logic behind this approach was that diagnostic features in medical images, in particular mammograms, we were interested in the enhancement of mammograms, vary significantly in size and shape. There could be calcifications that are very small, there could be masses and tumors that are quite big, there could be ligaments and ducts that are long and thin and narrow within a mammogram. Now, you would like to enhance all of them. When you apply an enhancement technique to a mammogram, we don't want edge enhancement and ringing artifacts, as I showed earlier with the unsharp masking and Laplacian techniques. We would like to enhance all the objects of different shape and size and density. The application of a global transform, such as a Fourier transform, will not look into the local size and shape and other details. A fixed operator, such as a 3x3 operator, doesn't check what is the size of the object, simply enhances the pixel value differences at the pixel level. Now, that is what we wanted to get away from. We didn't want to enhance information or differences based on pixel values one at a time, or adjacent pixel values, or using a global method such as the frequency component using the Fourier transform. So we wanted to design methods that can adapt the operation performed using local details present. The local detail could be of different shape and size. So we came up with this technique that we called adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement. There's a flowchart here. I'll skip that. I'll be explaining the methodology. You could refer to the flowchart later on if you wish, but this description refers to the flowchart. For adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement, the main idea is to derive or obtain a local region that corresponds to the local detail present of which the current pixel being processed is a part, as I showed earlier in the case of the adaptive neighborhood mean, median filters, and so on. So the first pixel is taken as a seed pixel. You start with a pixel in the image, and that is the seed from where you will grow a region, an adaptive neighborhood. The immediate neighbors, 8 connected pixels, are checked for inclusion in that region, similar to what I described earlier, but some of the region growing criteria could be different from one application to another. Each neighbor is checked to see if its gray level value is within a certain specified deviation, and then you specify some tolerance, fmn minus seed divided by seed less than or equal to tau. So this region growing criterion is different for the contrast enhancement technique because we want to relate this to the notion of contrast. Whereas in noise filtering, we just took the difference. We didn't take a ratio. By taking the ratio, we are measuring something that is similar to or related to contrast between these values, such as simultaneous contrast. So there is a threshold tau, and we put that tau, or defined it as 0.05 in this application, but it could be different. If a neighbor pixel's gray level value is within that specified deviation or difference, then it is added to the queue of foreground pixels. There is a list that is maintained that is shown in the flowchart. And that list of pixels will make up the region that we will get eventually. A pixel is added to the queue only if it is not already included, because when you check the neighbors of every pixel, some pixels are visited and checked repeatedly. So we check to make sure that it is not already in the queue, and then if it is not there and if it has to be included, we include it. A pixel is taken from the start of the foreground queue then, and this becomes the current pixel whose neighbors need to be checked. Because once you include a pixel, you have to check its neighbors to see if you need to grow further in that direction. So you check those 8 connected neighbors, and if they are to be included, put them in the queue. Otherwise, don't put them in the queue. If a neighbor pixel's gray level is outside the specified tolerance range, it is marked as a background pixel. Now, there could be some holes in the region grown because some pixels may not be included, and those are treated as background, and also there is an outer background that we will get later. So a background pixel indicates that the border of the region has been reached at that position, or it could be a hole in the region that is being grown. And once all the current pixel's neighbors have been checked, the program goes back and checks the connected neighbors of the next pixel in the queue, and so on, until the region growing stops. No more pixels are added to the foreground region. So it is an iterative process that will keep checking for the inclusion of pixels and their neighbors until some boundary is reached. And it is expected that with an appropriate tolerance, you get a region that corresponds to an object in the image, whatever that object be, any shape and any size. The borders of the foreground are then expanded in all directions, the outer border, by a specified number of pixels, and you get a ribbon that goes around the object on the outside. The foreground and background regions together form the adaptive neighborhood for the one pixel seed from where we started. And the result is applied to that pixel. And if there are redundant seed pixels that I explained earlier, to those as well. So then the contrast of that region is computed. The contrast is computed using the formula I described, I think, on the first day, F minus B divided by B, or F minus B divided by F plus B, where F is the average of the foreground region, density or intensity, B is the background intensity in that ribbon surrounding the object, and then you take a ratio to the sum of those two. Now that is contrast. Then you increase the contrast, and using the increased contrast value and the old background, you compute a new foreground pixel value. And then apply that result to the seed and all the redundant seeds. And then repeat this process for all the pixels in the image. So obviously, this is a very expensive procedure in terms of computation. There are a few parameters here. This technique for region growing is called seed fill. There is a growth tolerance tau. The seed fill growing method results in regions having contrast greater in magnitude than some minimum C min. And the question is, what is that C min and how is it related to the growth tolerance factor tau that we used? We would like this minimum contrast to be independent of a region's gray level. We want contrast and not gray level. So the result of enhancement will be independent of a multiplicative transformation of the image. If the image is scaled, the result should not be affected. Now, a region with the minimum contrast C min, and let's assume it to be positive, it could be negative too, will have a mean foreground value of F, and the background will be 1 minus tau times F. If it is negative, the background will be 1 plus tau. Then the minimum contrast is F minus that background value divided by F plus that background value, which is tau over 2 minus tau. And because tau is fairly small in practice, the values that we use are very small compared to 2, it is approximately tau over 2. So the contrast C min is independent of the foreground gray level because F is cancelled out, or the background level, because the background is related to the foreground in this manner, and depends only upon the region growing parameter tau that we used earlier. This is a kind of contrast measure. So if you put that as 0.05, for example, then that is 5%. This will be about 2.5%. Weber's ratio that I described earlier says 2% is the just noticeable difference for most levels of light intensity. So we turned off the lights, and even if you turn on the lights with different levels of intensity, the just noticeable difference for most of us would be about 2%. And if that is what you want as the minimum contrast, then the tolerance should be about 4%, or we used 5%. To grow regions that are barely noticeable prior to enhancement. So the question is, what kind of regions do you want to enhance? We don't want to enhance noise. We don't want to enhance objects that already have a high contrast. They are clearly visible. So we want to measure what is the contrast of the region that we are detecting. And we don't want to detect regions with a contrast less than 2%, because that could be noise or it could be some intrinsic variation within an object. Because the objects in a real life image are not totally uniform. There is some intrinsic variation, and you have to allow that variability within the region in order to find its boundary. So by this argument, we say choose a tolerance that is approximately 4% or 5%, and that range is appropriate. So a lower bound on tau may be established empirically in this manner. For contrast enhancement, we use this formula of contrast, C equal to F minus B over F plus B. F is the average foreground, that is, when you do the region growing, you get a certain object region, you take the average of all of those pixels. And then we have a ribbon around it, which is the background, you take the average of all of those pixels, that'll be B. So take the contrast like this, and then increase contrast. Replace C with an increased value CE, and we use different functions depending upon how much enhancement you want and what types of objects do you want to enhance and what is the range of enhancement. You can design an appropriate function to increase contrast. Once you get the increased contrast, you turn this formula around. The question is, what should be the foreground value to achieve that contrast with the background being the same? So that is FE, the enhanced pixel value, is B, the background you computed just now. But that is not of one pixel. It is the average intensity of that surrounding ribbon times 1 plus C over 1 minus CE, the enhanced value. Now that value is applied to the seed from where we started region growing, only to that pixel, and redundant seeds if they are in the image. The enhancement function that we applied for mammograms is like this. This is the contrast C, 0 to, I'm showing only 0.6. The range is 0 to 1. But we enhance the contrast only in a small portion up to about 0.3. Beyond 0.3, we don't change. A contrast of 0.3 is good, and the object will be very clearly visible. There is no need to enhance. So we enhance the contrast only in this region, and there is also a low region here where we don't enhance, and that could be related to noise. So for a very low amount of contrast computed for the region, there is no enhancement here. I don't remember the range. It is described in the book. And for C greater than 0.5, I said 0.3, but 0.5, the output is the same. Again, that can be modified. We designed this curve for mammograms. So here are some examples. A part of a mammogram with calcification. B is adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement that you see here. C is gamma correction, and D is unsharp masking, just to compare. I'll show you the comparison later on. If you were to apply histogram equalization, you get this, which is useless. Now, these techniques were applied to the entire mammogram. The whole mammogram was much larger than the part that you're seeing here. The mammograms were digitized to a resolution of 60 micrometers per pixel, if I remember right. And the mammograms were quite large, with several million pixels each. So this is only a small part of the mammogram. And these are parts of the mammograms after enhancement. So the technique was not applied to only this part, but the whole mammogram. And histogram equalization doesn't help here. We applied the technique to several examples that were selected from the teaching library of the Department of Radiology at the Foothills Hospital in Calgary, and we were collaborating with Dr. Desertel at that time. We enhanced these images and gave them back to him, and he analyzed the images and gave us feedback, and we modified the procedure. And later on, he analyzed these images, comparing them to the original and giving us some information as to how the images have been enhanced and what kinds of details he could see after enhancement. All of that description is in the book, so I would ask you to read that. I don't want to go through all of those details. But in general, the visibility and contrast was improved. And some of the finer details inside regions like this, low density or high density, were made more visible after enhancement. So these are different types of images with calcifications and tumors. There is another one here with a benign cyst. And again, this is only a part of the mammogram. If I show the full mammogram, it becomes a bit difficult to see how the enhancement has affected certain parts. And Dr. Desertel gave some opinion as to how the images were enhanced, and you could read that description in the book if you like. But that would be subjective, and qualitative analysis of the effect of the enhancement. Now, in mammography or in radiology, the result must be analyzed by an expert in the area. It doesn't matter what I say or what my student says as to what the image processing technique has done. We could say it has improved the contrast or enhanced the edges, but if the radiologist says that this is useless, then that technique is not usable in practice. So we gave these images to radiologists and asked them to interpret the nature of enhancement, and if there are any artifacts, what are the artifacts? Are the artifacts bothering or affecting the analysis? And then we did a study, and that study is also described in the book. I won't go through the detail here. In the last section, I believe, in this chapter, there are some details as to how we enhanced a number of images from the screening program in Alberta. We took images of mammograms, we scanned them, where cancer was detected, and there were films taken 2 or 3 or 4 years before that in the screening program of the same person where nothing had been detected. The cancer had developed in between or was not visible or was missed on the previous mammogram. In such cases, the previous mammograms are known as prior mammograms, and if the cancer was detected outside the screening program, the case is known as interval cancer case, where cancer developed in the interval between the screening, recommended screening instance, because screening images are taken every 2 years. So we enhanced these images, the images on which cancer was detected, or the prior mammogram corresponding to the same patient in the same breast 2 years or 3 years before. And then gave all of them back to the radiologists. And in this study, we had, there were two studies. In one, we had 3 radiologists. In another, we had 5 radiologists who analyzed these enhanced images and ranked them as being normal or not, or abnormal, and so on, just as they would do in a clinical study. And they were given the enhanced mammogram and the original mammogram without telling which is which. In one study, we gave them the images on a computer monitor. In another, we printed the images on film and gave them back. And then we compared the efficiency of detection of cancer using what is called receiver operating characteristic study. And then we did some statistical analysis and showed that the application of the adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement technique led to an increase in the sensitivity of detection of breast cancer on the prior mammograms, which implies that if this technique had been applied to the mammograms in the screening program, some of the cases of cancer that were missed would have been caught earlier, 1 or 2 or 3 years earlier, depending upon when those mammograms were taken, with higher efficiency or higher confidence. And the loss in specificity was not significant. Now, whenever there is an increase in sensitivity of detection, there is also the danger that we would be reducing the specificity, which means that normal mammograms, due to the effect of enhancement, lead to the incorrect diagnosis of cancer or some breast disease. If that happens, the woman is sent to have more tests and more exams and possibly a biopsy, with additional costs and anxiety to the patient and so on. We don't want that to happen, but that is the price to pay. Mammography itself causes some false positives and false alarms and additional testing. So when we apply another technique to enhance mammograms, that technique could create some more false positives, leading to reduction in what is called the specificity of the method. And we showed that, or we found that, the application of this enhancement technique did not reduce the specificity significantly. But this was not done in the screening program, it was done outside, so it was all after the fact that the women had already gone through the whole process of mammography and whatever else happened subsequently. What I mean to say is the women in the screening program were not affected by the decision made using the enhancement technique. We also provided the software to a group of scientists at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, and there they enhanced a number of mammograms and using a number of techniques. I believe they used 4 or 5 different techniques: adaptive histogram equalization, some other contrast enhancement technique, wavelet-based technique, and our technique. And the images were presented, without telling which is which, to a number of radiologists. And they were asked to say which image is the best, the original or enhanced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the case of images with calcifications, the radiologists picked the images enhanced by this technique the majority of the time. In the case of images with masses or cysts like this, the radiologists picked the original as the preferred image. It was a preference study. The radiologists did not have to do any diagnostic interpretation, but simply say, which is the best? So it was interesting that in the case of masses, they preferred the original, meaning they did not want any enhancement, or they did not see the benefit of enhancement. In the case of calcifications, because of the small size and subtlety, especially microcalcifications, which could be as small as 0.1 millimeter or 0.2 millimeter on the mammogram, and when superimposed by dense tissue, they could be hard to see. This is zoomed. In the whole mammogram, some of these may be hard to see. If there are so many of them, they'll be obvious. If there are very few, 4 or 5 little bright spots, they could be missed. So we did studies of that nature, and we also did objective assessment of enhancement. So we are trying to do contrast enhancement. So then we said, let's go back to the processed image, measure contrast again by doing region growing, and for every region, compute the contrast and make a histogram of the contrast. How many times do we have regions with a particular contrast value? And we made a histogram, not of the gray level, but of the contrast. And from that histogram, we computed moments, Ci squared PCi, where Ci is the contrast value, I going 1 to n, where n is the number of bins over the range minus 1 to plus 1. Contrast can be negative or positive up to a value of 1 in the normalized definition. So this is a measure of spread of the histogram. And because C could be negative or positive, we squared it there. If the image is low contrast, the histogram is narrow and the value of M2 will be low. If the image has high contrast, there'll be a broader histogram, more values, more occurrences of high contrast values, then M2 should be high. So we got these results for an original mammogram, and this is with one enhancement technique and with other enhancement techniques. So these are the counts of regions with contrast values from 0 to 0.2 and 0 to minus 0.2, but they go up to 0.1, up to 1, plus 1 and minus 1. I'm only showing this region. Beyond that, the counts are very small. So for the original, we got a certain value of M2, and this is for gamma correction. Part D is for unsharp masking. Part B, which is this, was using adaptive neighborhood contrast enhancement. So what this shows is in the original image, most of the regions had contrast less than 0.1, plus and minus 0.1. Not many regions had higher than 0.1. After enhancement, there are many regions with high contrast values. And there are more regions with these contrast values too. So the histogram is now spread, which means there is contrast enhancement. And the spread in the other cases is lower, as quantified by the second moment. So in this manner, we were able to compare objectively the results of different image enhancement techniques applied to the same mammogram. And we did that for several mammograms and showed that the adaptive neighborhood technique leads to better enhancement of contrast than the other methods. It is designed to enhance contrast, and that is what it has achieved. And more important would be the subjective assessment by the radiologist, but quantified using receiver operating characteristic techniques, which was another study that I have described in the chapter at the end, but I will not go through all of those details. So that finishes this chapter. I have not skipped anything except some description of the tests with the mammograms, and I don't think you would want to see all those details. You could read them yourself later. Well, let's take a break for 10 minutes and we'll continue at 10:45.